Hello, welcome to Quarantined with the Good Graces. Quarantined is an interview podcast that focuses on staying creative, present, and connected during these unsettled and isolating times. I'm your host, Kim Ware of the Good Graces, and today in episode 3 of Quarantined, I'm talking to the great Tom Cheshire of Atlanta, Georgia. Tom is best known, at least to me, but he's done so much amazing stuff, for his work in All Night Drug Prowling Wolves and West End Motel. Tom and I talked about Kimono My House, the Facebook group that connected us and has served as the catalyst for so many new relationships since the pandemic, staying creative despite isolation and uncertainty, the importance of community, and much more. I had a really awesome time chatting with Tom, and I found our conversation just very inspiring. I hope you enjoy it as well. You can support this and my other musical-related endeavors by becoming a patron. In fact, patrons that contribute $10 or more each month get the unedited video versions of these quarantine chats. You can become a patron for as little as $1 a month, and I appreciate any and all contributions, so thanks in advance for checking it out at patreon.com/KimWare. Now on with the episode.
Yeah.
I know. I finally got here and you left. I hope it's not me. Because I moved back to New York in 2011. And although I was here probably 3 times a year to see family, work on music projects, I was only here, I worked it out that I was here every 3 or 4 months, and that was enough. And I had a strange love-hate relationship, I hope people aren't offended by that, with Atlanta, meaning it got the best of me, it also got the worst of me at times. That being said, this pandemic, Atlanta, it feels so wonderful to be here, seeing the state being part of, you know, registering to vote, being part of the state turning blue. Got a Georgia license again, seeing family and working on music and collaborating with you and Andy. I don't know. I don't know why I was so fearful, but it feels absolutely 200% this is where I should be right now.
That's awesome. Yeah, well, I mean, Atlanta loves you for sure. And I guess, I mean, that's a good segue into, let's talk a little bit about, for people that are not as familiar with the great Tom Cheshire and the music you made. Like, I actually became more familiar with you through, like, I saw All Night Drug Prowling Wolves.
Yeah, Wolves, yeah.
A few times. And, like, I don't know if we really met in part. I feel like we met through Kimono My House. But, like, I remember, I'm pretty sure you guys played it. When I first moved to Atlanta back in 2004, I started a music festival called the Other Sound Festival.
Yeah, we played that.
I thought you did. And so that's how I became familiar with you. And so I would see you every so often with a different musical act, usually with them. But it seems like more recently you've been doing more with the West End Motel stuff, correct?
Right. And I mean, I'm still best friends with the guys from the Wolves. And Ben Thrower plays in the Wolves and West End, so I get to hang out with him whenever we play, which is always nice. It's just, you know how it is. Life happens. People are busy. Some families are expanding, and some families are getting smaller. Like, you know, for instance, when I did move back to New York in 2011, everyone in the Wolves, you know, beautiful men, great friends of mine. They were married and having a lot of kids, which is wonderful. And I was going through a divorce. So I just said to them, guys, your families are expanding, you're busy, and my family is dwindling down, which is very okay. Wound up being the best thing for me at the time, you know? And I was like, so we need to put this on hold. I'm going to go to New York. And West End Motel was always just an idea of a conglomerate for me. It's an idea I came up with in the 90s. I was living in the West End part of Atlanta. And it was like, well, if you and I right now decided to write a song on this Zoom call, you played acoustic guitar and me banging on a toaster and playing a mandolin or something, we'd be West End Motel. But tomorrow night, if you and I went and had drinks with the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra and they were kind enough to jam with us, we would be West End Motel. It's about just having guests in the motel, and it was more of a conglomerate. So I could put out songs under the name, even if it was just me and a kick drum and a baby toy piano or something, you know?
Gotcha. That's awesome. That's same thing with the Good Graces. Like, the Good Graces is me and whoever else is with me at the time.
Right.
So.
And I had heard the name Good Graces. Well, one, it's an excellent name.
Thank you.
I heard that name for years and then listened to the music and loved it. Oh. And then when we met, I think, you know, virtually, probably in May of 2020, I believe, when we started talking and playing shows together, I put two and two together. I said, man, this is the genius behind the Good Graces.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's a labor of love. I guess, you know, but yeah, I love that. I didn't even realize that. So West End Motel is you and whomever, which totally makes sense. Cause I've seen you, sometimes you play in kimono by yourself. Right. Sometimes you mentioned Ben who I saw you play with him recently.
Yeah,
that was great.
Yeah.
That's super, super cool. And so just to, for if anyone is listening that maybe is like, what do they keep talking about? So Kimono My House is a virtual venue of sorts on Facebook that myself and my good friend Andy Gish started March 13th of 2020 when I came home. Yeah, it was March 13th. I came home from work that day. We had had an employee luncheon at work that day that I was just like kind of petrified about even participating in. And then when it was done, I was just like, I'm going home. I'm out. And I went home thinking I'd go back into the office Monday. I didn't.
Right.
And then that Friday afternoon, I had some time to kill. I was trying to just kind of start processing everything. You know, it was like when things were just starting to get pretty serious about coronavirus and everything. And I was on my porch and Andy had posted something on Facebook a few days prior and I hadn't really had time to engage with it, but she posted something about like, we need a place, like a virtual place for Atlanta musicians to stay connected. And I was looking at it and I was like, hey, why don't we, I think she had made a page, but I was like, hey, why don't we make this a group and just do like Facebook Live shows here on the group? And we thought, you know, we'll invite our Atlanta musician friends to participate. And maybe this is something we can do for a few weeks with about 20 or 30 people. Like right, that's literally right. what we thought it would just be a little thing, you know, and then, I mean, it kind of blew up. I think largely because of people like you who came in and really like embraced it and said, oh, yeah, guys, this is cool, and invited more people and, you know, people from all over the world. And now I think there's more than 7,000 people there and it's been super fun.
Thank you to you and Andy. I mean, it's tremendous, but I was wondering about that because part of your reasoning was it, did you think, well, in 2 months we'll be back to having normal shows again? Or was it just like, well, let's just get a few people in here, and you didn't realize that the evolution of it would be, well, as big as it is, having almost, I think, 8,000 members now, you know?
Right. Yeah, it really wasn't thought through that much. I mean, well, it really was just to fill a very an immediate need, you know. And I think anytime you start anything, and if you can say, I need a, like, if you need that thing, somebody else needs that thing too. And that's really all it was like, we, like I said, like Andy said, like, we need a place where Atlanta musicians can still stay connected and like maybe play for each other somehow. But I don't think we really knew exactly what that would look like. I know a few months after we started it, I remember thinking, you guys, really soon we're going to get to have a big show together, like an in-person.
Right.
And I really would have hoped that we could have by now. Mm-hmm. And I still hope to do it one day.
And we're still hoping. Yeah.
Yeah.
It organically did happen. I think if you would have pushed, I think, you know, I'm a huge fan of trial and error, and I've done creative projects that I've never done before. Well, the first record I did, I had never done a record before that, or, you know, books of poetry or pieces of art. And just like this, I think if you would have put a lot into it and expected huge things, you might have been disappointed or it might have failed. So I love that it happened organically.
Me too. Yeah, I think you're absolutely correct. And I know at first, because I got a little frightened, to be honest, because once more and more people started joining it, we wanted it to have some sort of, we didn't want it to be just a free for all where like, oh, anybody can just come in and post anything they want, you know? And so you'll see every so often, I still try to remind people.
Oh, I see it and I love it. And I think the smartest thing you did, was put up the rules, the schedule. The rules are simple, you know. You know, if anyone out there who's not familiar with Atlanta, you know, there's there's several great clubs, but if you're playing a show at the Earl, and even though 529's down the block, you're not gonna put a flyer up in the Earl that you're playing at 529. And it's that simple. So yeah. I think it's simple and it's common sense, and but most of all it's courteous.
Yeah, well, and I think that helped give it an identity, having that structure, you know. I think things like that, I think communities need things like that, at least when they're first getting started, because otherwise you don't even know what it is, you know. It's like we needed to say like, this is what it is and this is how it works. And a few people at the beginning, they didn't appreciate that, and so they went on about their way, and that's okay. Because I
remember seeing that, and I didn't understand it, because one, it's great and it's simple, but listen, it's their prerogative. If someone isn't down with that, they can start their own. I myself, you know, come from a production background where I've produced like events and commercials and stuff, and I love being part of a team. And I love collaborating when it comes to songwriting and projects. So you guys, in my opinion, you and Andy, in my opinion, had laid down the foundation and the groundwork. So I just said, if you want me to be someone to be a producer or help you curate, I can join. The way I looked at it is you guys did 60% of it already. So I just wanted to come in and maybe help it grow.
Yeah, and you absolutely did. So that's a good segue into, I wanted to talk about what you've been doing with, you call it BLT. So
right, but when you
do what?
But real quick, yeah. But when you play with us, and you will play us again, it's going to be the VLT for the vegan lettuce and tomato, which is amazing. Yeah,
that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Well, it started off simple. Lars Nagel, who I'm a huge fan of as a musician, but also just a human. He is one of the nicest, most positive, just gentlemen I've met over the past 20 so years that I lived on and off in Atlanta. And we were always very fond of each other. And in the 90s, regularly saw each other. I probably have not seen him in person since probably 2008 or 2009. And he reached out to me. I just got in Atlanta. I was talking with you and Andy, and we were trying to do these shows, and he just reached out. And also I get anxiety talking on the phone. I'm not good at talking on the phone, but I hadn't talked to him forever. So it was great to catch up. And I told him about you guys, and I told him about Kimona My House. And I said, you gotta play. And he did, and he loved it. He was very grateful. And then we just started saying, well, listen, we used to play shows, my band and your band, and an opening act. Why don't we just kind of use that? You know, it's such a simple, you know, menu, or, you know, such a simple idea, you know? And so we went with that. And then I made a joke. We should do a show with Blake Rainey and call it BLT Show, meaning Blake, Lars, and Tom. That's simple. And that went well. Blake's an old friend and another wonderful writer and artist. And then we just said, yo, let's do it every other week and call it the BLT Show. We don't have to have a gentleman with the letter B or a woman with the letter B. It's just funny. What's a BLT? It's a sandwich with three good things on it. How about we have three good artists playing 30 minutes each? And it's really that simple.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny because so many people have reached out like, I don't get it. I'm like, you don't have to get it. It easily could have been called, you know, the Cadillac Escalade Show or you know, you know, just think of something funny that you like, you know.
I love that. Like, I'm seeing a t-shirt that says, you always have such good, like, one-liners, and I'm seeing, like, BLT. It's a sandwich with three good things on it.
It was that simple. And then it was a lot of fun to get, you know, such wonderful artists that I've been a fan of for years, like Jeff Evans, aka Chickens and Pigs, getting to know you and Andy, which was phenomenal. And then new artists that I never really knew before, but I've heard of. And then even better than that, I belong to a few because of the pandemic and losing, so you don't lose your mind, I belong to a few groups, music groups, like a couple of Facebook groups in over in Europe and England.
Cool.
And I discovered Daniel Gay.
Oh, and, I was wondering. I was going to ask that.
Yeah. So he was doing a cover of a musician that I know in England, Frankie Stubbs. And I just sent him a note and I said, that's really beautiful. I said, I toured with him, you know, years ago with my band in like 2008. And then next thing you know, we just started talking and he was like, oh my goodness, I just checked out Western Motel. I love Prowling Wolves. And next thing you know, we're just texting, we're sending notes on Facebook. And he's like, wait a minute, your brother, Scott Cheshire, I read it. My brother's a writer. He's like, I read his book last year. It's beautiful. And next thing you know, it was just beautiful, beautiful accidents, you know? And I said, you got to play Come On to My House. You got to play the BLT show. And now he's probably my favorite artist that I've discovered in forever, and we talk once a week about when things calm down, me going to Boston and producing a record for him.
Oh, so, that's amazing.
Yeah.
He is so good.
Unbelievable. And just beautiful. You know, he had his daughter singing with him the other day. He's just, you know, why are we, I say this all the time, why are we attracted to each other? You know, you and I talking right now, us and Daniel. Well, I think it's because we hate the same things and we love the same things.
Yeah.
We hate, you know, hate ignorance and homophobia and hatred and bad stuff. And we love, like, laughing, crying at the right time, songs, hugs and kisses, you know, whatever it is, you know. We love all the good stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So he you know, I told him, I was like, you're Randy Newman and Billy Bragg, man. And just take that as a huge compliment.
He really is. Oh, and I remember the first time, I think I had seen him a little bit. He would post like a single song every so often, and he was playing guitar. And I remember the first night I watched him, and all of a sudden he switches to keys. And I was like, what is happening?
Yeah.
He's such a great piano player, too.
Oh, my. Unbelievable. Yeah.
Holy
and I think I've seen videos of him playing accordion. I wouldn't be surprised if he's one of those people that probably could play everything.
I know. Where he's going to like pull out like a French horn or something in his next show.
Yeah, Dolly Parton. He's going to do like a rap and then pull out a saxophone out of his chest, you know. But, you know, he really is phenomenal. And the songs are great. And, you know, I love his politics. I love his, you know, his love for good people, you know, and never met. We've spoken on the phone three times. The rest of it's through your page, Come On to My House, and then us creating the BLT show.
That's amazing. I mean, that has been, I'll tell you, and I've said this before, like since March 13th, like I do a lot of things. I have a lot of projects.
I know you
do too.
Yeah.
You know, and but I mean that is something that I think years from now I'll look back and say like that's a thing that I'm really proud of because
I know
really fostered like you were saying like new like just real connections between people.
Right. Right.
What it's all about.
Yeah, and you know, and it's wonderful because we know everyone who's watching is open-minded and we know they're all beautiful and have like good intentions, but still not everyone, you know, thinks the same, you know? And like, for instance, Sean McDougall, but we know him as Mako Fiume, is another gentleman I met through Jeff Bakos, who's a great Atlanta producer, you know?
Okay.
And they grew up together and he hooked me up and he was like, hey, can you work on some songs with him? I was like, sure. So we literally, You know, I was a new wave kid growing up in New York, you know, and I love new order and dance music and stuff. And he writes a lot of that stuff and I help him write it. And I said, you got to perform on the BLT show. You got to perform on Come On to My House. I was like, it doesn't matter what anyone thinks. I know you played all those instruments. I was like, even if it's just you on your laptop and you singing and doing spoken word over it. And sure enough, some people would say, hey, what's this guy doing? And I said, he's getting his art out there.
Yeah.
But like 8 out of 12 people were blown away by it and say, I'm in such a good mood. I love it.
Yeah.
And how cool is it that if I'm doing a solo show, just me on a, you know, I'm playing piano badly and doing poetry. And then he does his dance music. And then Lars Nagels plays his beautiful acoustic songs where he sounds like honey. What a great diverse show that is.
That's so true. I love that. And it reminds me too. And I think this is why I was so set on having rules at the beginning. So I don't know if you ever heard of, I used to live in Wilmington, North Carolina before I moved to Atlanta.
Wilmington.
Yeah, I lived in Wilmington for about 15 years. And I was part of this music festival there called the Wilmington Exchange Festival, or the WEE Festival.
I remember hearing about that, yeah.
It was amazing. But it had that diversity that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, they would have like ensembles, like maybe that might have like a horn section, like jazz fusion stuff, playing on a bill, like followed by a just complete like heavy, like hardcore, like just
right,
like you yes. never knew what you were gonna see or I where they it. Were gonna be from, but you knew it was gonna be awesome. And
right.
like the one of the main rules that I guess the WEE Fest, it ran for, I don't know, 10 or 15 years. But one of the rules that I really appreciated with it, that the original organizers kind of put forth, was that if you played one year, you wouldn't play it again. Like they always wanted new people because they didn't want it to be like just the same stuff.
I love
like,
that.
And it kept it like just so fresh and so interesting. But people would come back and like they would do like the unofficial like late night shows, even if they played before. So you would still get a chance. But it became like a family. And people, I mean, met their spouses through the WEE Festival. You know, it's like real relationships that lasted forever were formed. And ever since then, it's like I've always tried to not recreate it, but like I've always hoped that I could be part of something like that. And I'm not saying that, I mean, WEE Fest was a very, very special thing, but I mean,
but I think you've come close with Come On My House.
That's what I really look to do if I can, or to be part of just something that's just really real. And that's about more than just like on the surface, it's just a Facebook group where you can see music, but it's more than that, you know?
Oh, no, yeah. I mean, I remember, I'd say March 13th. It seems like by the end of May, early June, I think you guys had gotten like 4,000
probably. Followers. That sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, and it was so exciting because you see this little thing that you started really turn into something. Wait a minute, this is something real, and it's kind of now become a machine. Yes, you got to remind people the rules once in a while, but it's become a machine, become a beautiful machine that runs itself.
It's nice, and it ebbs and flows. You know, there'll be times where it's like there's not much going on this week except for BLT, but then all of a sudden there'll be like a few more little things, and we're planning some stuff. You know, it's been almost a year now, so
I cannot believe it.
We're planning some stuff. We'll be in touch with you, I'm sure, about something for March 13th.
You're doing a Galentine show, right?
Yeah. That's cool. Sylvia's baby. She wanted to
that
do.
That looks something. So cool.
Yeah, I thought that was just a really cool, fun idea. Just all girls performing on.
It's a great idea.
Valentine's
well, let me know.
Eve.
Let me know. I'll help promote it. But yeah, if you're going to be doing an anniversary show, I want to be part of it for sure.
We want you to be a big part of it for sure. So yeah, very cool. So for back to BLT. So you do that once a week, Wednesday nights, and you're just, I mean, any plans? Like that's just the plan, basically going forward.
I think it's a real thoughtful night. Lars and I had discussed it. You know, I have some friends that do shows on Thursday nights on other pages.
Cool.
So, and I know they would watch us. So I was like, no. And then on the weekends, I know the world is still shut down, but I think people are with their families, or maybe they're in their small social bubble, hanging out in the backyard or whatever. And so I was like, I don't want to pressure people.
Sure.
And the cool thing about a Wednesday night is, And this is for anyone watching, anyone wants to play, please reach out to me or Lars. But like, you know, you'll see, you know, wait a minute, 40 people watched you, 60 people watched you, and it's freezing cold and it's raining out. And I don't know, if I was playing at the Earl that night, I don't know, a rainy, cold night the week before Christmas, I don't know if 60 people would have come out and seen me. But by the next day, you see you had a couple hundred views, and then a week later, you have 900 or 1,000 views. And, you know, really, it's a great way to keep in touch with, I hate to say fans, but I have a few of them. Most of them are friends, and it's a great way just to keep in touch with friends. But the real deal is like I made a whole new group of fans.
Yes.
Like people, and I know everyone who's played it has as well. You know, Daniel Gay is a perfect example. You know, he's like, I'm getting friend requests all the time from people, and there's only one person that we have in common that we know, and it's you. You know,
you're a connector. It feels great.
My sister says it's a facilitator.
Yes.
We should make money doing this. No, I'm kidding.
Well, we're rich in other things.
We're so rich in love and art and music. It's pretty lucky.
Absolutely. No, for sure. So let's talk about the West End Motel stuff.
Yeah.
Because you have some stuff out recently. Mm-hmm. You released a single like right around New Year's Day. Was it on New Year's Day?
On New Year's Day. Yeah.
Very cool.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, one of the pluses of being here in Atlanta is seeing my family and my sister and my nieces, who I only got to see three times a year. So getting old, I really appreciate family. And that has been top priority and been wonderful, you know. Yeah. And then secondly is the guys that I write music with, the guys in West End, you know. They've been able to make the time, and we're very careful, you know. So we'll get two guys, you know, 6 or 8 feet apart in the studio, and it's interesting how we've written the songs. Like, I'll come up with an idea and we'll record, like Ben and I, the song New Year's Day, we recorded literally acoustic guitar and vocals, and then a week later the bass player and the drummer came in, and then we sent it to Brooklyn, to my keyboard player, played keys on it, and uh-huh. then it came back, and then Brent and Ben Davis played saxophone on it, and then boom, master it. And we're just trying to drop a single a month to keep people, you know, just to keep people one interested, and hopefully they enjoy it. And it's been a wonderful project.
That's great. Yeah, it sounds like, wow, it's really rocking. It's a great song. It's super fun. And so that's what I was going to ask, if you had like any designs on like releasing like a full length or an EP, or mm-hmm. you're just approaching it song by song, like once a month.
Song by song. Yeah.
Cool.
Probably in the spring, I think 8 or 10 songs will be done by then.
Yeah.
And then, you know, do a small run on vinyl.
All
and
right.
Get it out there. Yeah, you know, the last record that we put out as a record was called Bad With Names, Good With Faces.
Yeah.
And that was in 2018.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think it's about time to give the world some new new West End songs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man, and that stuff would sound great on vinyl. Have you done vinyl before?
That record we did vinyl. Yeah.
Cool.
Before that, everything was digital and CD. But, you know, I love vinyl records. I've collected books and records have basically been the only thing I've collected over the years. Mm-hmm. And so, it's a great thing. It's tangible. You know, it's like people love holding something in their hands and just, you know, looking at something and reading liner notes and stuff, you know?
Totally. Yeah, that's very, very cool. So, curious. We've kind of hinted at this, but I like to try to focus on this during these conversations. Obviously something that you've done differently is just like kind of being part of Kimono and doing your mm-hmm. virtual shows and all that. Like, have you found it challenging to continue to be like creative and produce things during this time? Mm-hmm. Like, it seems like you're thriving in it. Like, have you had to make a lot of adjustments, or do you feel like it's just such a part of you that you just figure out how to make it work?
You know, it's so funny because I haven't really followed. I played baseball as a boy. You know, I love baseball. And then when I decided to, you know, give everything to music in my late teens, I didn't really follow sports that much. But I love sports analogies, you know.
Oh.
And I always feel like, you know, when your favorite hitter, your favorite batter, like for the Braves or the Mets, whatever team it is, when you see them going through a slump and it's heartbreaking, and literally the last 12 at-bats they've struck out, you know, I really feel that way as an artist sometimes, and I'm not complaining about it. Whether it's writer's block or just there's nothing there, So I'll go for walks, go for hikes, listen to other music, certainly watch films that I love, and try to let that sponge up there in the brain get inspired and get wet and get and maybe get ideas, or maybe just be like, wait a minute, open up a door that has been closed for a minute and be like, wait a minute. You know, like the New Year's Day song, you know, it reminded me of an old soul song. I wanted horns on it, you know, and I wanted to, you know, I was like, you know, this had been here the whole time. Why haven't I been flirting with this? And then when I think that happens, that batter goes up to bat and he hits a home run. And this next 16 at bats, he hits home runs. And I think we really don't have much choice in it, you know? And so I take it when it comes. And yes, the pandemic has been strange and peculiar and weird, but, you know, I'm rich with friends and family and love and art. I'll take it, you know? So for a few months, it was scary. And now I'm hitting, I don't know if they're good or not, but I feel like I'm hitting home runs. I'm staying really busy with projects, which That's feels awesome. Really good, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think about that a lot. I've thought about like, what if I didn't have music? Like right now, like going through all of this, like it has totally just been my lifeline, and I cannot imagine. And I feel like, I think maybe it's because I appreciate it so much more now, but I've been writing a lot more than usual, and I've been playing a lot more because now that we're settled in here, I have more time. I'm unemployed for the first time since I was in my 20s, and it's a little bit frightening because I'm very appreciative of structure and stability. And it's like I'm just kind of saying no. It's going to be okay. I'll figure that out when I need to figure it out. And right now I'm just trying to embrace the uncertainty of it. But yeah, I mean, it's been an interesting time. To pivot and figure it out. But I think a lot of us have found ways to maybe do it even more and even better.
That's exactly, the point. You know, Lars and I were laughing. It's, you know, chatting, texting the other day, and it's like, man, I didn't play 50 solo shows last year. You know, we played 50, we played like 50 shows, you know, and we're going to play more than that. I've never put out a single a month ever. Sweet. And I've put out a single a month since October, and I plan on by April or May have enough to put out a record, you know, and, you know, just because the world's upside down doesn't mean we need to be upside down, you know? So we could actually say, wait a minute, you know, yeah, you try to knock me down. Now I'm going to do some really cool stuff and make people happy and make myself feel inspired and you know, love life and shit, love people and love myself again and be proud of myself, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Well, couple standard questions I like to ask to kind of wrap up. Well, one of them's brand new, so I'll save that for the end because that's a surprise question to put to
me. Oh my goodness, I'm nervous.
I know you should be. But no, what's the first thing that you're looking forward to doing after quarantines?
That's so funny because I was in a meeting earlier and everyone was saying, you know, can't you wait to go on a date? Like out with, you know, your girlfriend and just like hug in public and be able to like go to a show. And I said, yeah, that's gotta be in the top three, you know, of things. Cause I mean, you know, I try to go to like, there's some parks out here, wear a mask and do some hiking and stuff because you gotta get out. You gotta get out and stay sane, you know?
Yeah.
But I think a show, I really think a show, I think it's probably the top two are either going on a date to a show or being on stage giving a show to people who are on dates.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, one of those two, sure. I think I'll be fighting for the top of like, or an exciting feeling.
I love it. I hope I'm at your show for sure.
And I hope I'm at yours. Yeah. Goodness gracious.
Yeah. Well, I hope we can do a big kimono thing in person at some point. That would be amazing.
That's what I'm That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, you know, it might be the fall and it's outside where there's, you know, heaters and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think there's a reality. It's a good thing to, good goal to have maybe before Thanksgiving. Yeah. It's someone's backyard, us high-fiving and listening to Chickens and Pigs. Heck, sounds pretty good to me.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Yeah. God. So, are you on Twitter? I was looking for you on Twitter.
I am not on Twitter.
Okay.
You know what's funny? I secretly would go on Twitter every day to like look at what the idiot in chief was doing for a minute and other things. My brother is on Twitter and he's always telling me, he's like, it doesn't matter if you post anything. It's just, you should get on it just to follow people. I mainly do Instagram and Facebook, and it's such a good way. And sometimes I hate that because of negativity and stuff that's on it with people in life. But I have a lot of family in South America, and when there's an earthquake or something, it's wonderful that they can check in safe. I love that, and it's a great way for me to do posters and promote shows, also promote my friend's art. If a friend has a new record coming out, I could share it and say, "Hey, these are my friends."
Heck yeah!
So I love all of that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
2021, maybe I should get on Twitter.
Oh my God, I love it, Tom. Well, no, I was asking because right before we got on this call, I follow Merriam-Webster on Twitter. And so I get an email every day and I pay attention. I try to at least read it most days.
Right.
But now I'm trying to be more with it now. It's basically their word of the day email.
Oh, and I love that.
Yeah, and so right before we got on this call, because I tweeted this out and I was looking for you on Twitter and I didn't see you, so I couldn't tag you, but I mentioned you by name. But anyway, today's word of the day is obeisance. Okay. I had no idea what it meant. I had never seen the word before. It means a homage or a bow to show respect.
For
something or someone, yes. So I made a sentence for you. If I were to see you in person, I would meet you with sincere obeisance as I admire what you've done for Kimona My House and the Atlanta music scene.
Oh my goodness.
So I was wondering if you could you use it in a sentence, perhaps? Obeisance.
Oh my goodness. Well, I don't think I can do as good a job as you just did. That is a really, really beautiful word. And it at first I thought it was going to be a negative thing, you know, just because I think obese is in it, you know, but also obey and obedience. And like, I know there's some good things in it, but I love that word. I'm about to look it up when I hang up. And I'm going to try to come up with two or three good ones for you.
Please.
And I will send it to you and tag you. I love words. I love the English language. That's why I try to write poems and songs.
Yes.
Even the simplest word that means nothing to someone, sometimes when it's next to the right word, it's 10 times better.
Oh, God. I got chills because you're so right. I was an English major in college, and so I'm real big on words too. And I had a feeling you were, and so that's why I was like,
it's the only class I took seriously in school. I was a horrible student, and it was just because who knows the reasons? And it's in therapy hour. Like solace to me, it might be my favorite word, you know, just to find solace in something, because I know I've had a lot of discomfort and pain in my life. And when I find a little bit of comfort right next to it, I just want to scream at the clouds and in happiness, you know, so.
That's beautiful, man. Well, I did want to also ask you, because we were talking about the socials. So if people want to follow you, learn more about Westin Motel, music, etc. Let people know where to find
you. Thank you. On Instagram, I'm Tom Cheshire Singers, like Singers. Like one day we may actually do a show with 8 guys dressed like me and using hand gestures and singing like me under the name Tom Cheshire Singers. And then I have Brian, who plays with me in West End Motel. He runs the Instagram page for that, because I can never handle 2 Instagram pages. But that's West End Motel Band At Instagram, it's Western Motel Band. Okay. And on Facebook, it's just Tom Cheshire. Check me out. Go to come on to my house, join, say hi to me on that, play a show with myself and Lars Nagel. We gotta get you down on a calendar to play another BLT show with us.
For sure, I'd love to.
You know, thank you for having me and congratulations on your podcast. I know you're gonna kill it.
Thanks. I'm having a lot of fun with it. This has been such a great conversation. I really, really appreciate your time. I hope take care and I hope I'll see you in person maybe in a few months or so.
Godspeed.
Yep. You too, Tom. Have a great day. Love you.
Thank you so much. Love you. Thank you for having
me. Take care. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Well, no one never wins. No one never wins. Neither of you win. And you feel it getting thin. These walls are closing in. And she breaks and she sings. And she screams and it rings. I write songs. I try to right wrongs. At least I try. At least I try. I'll pass the test and fix this mess. At least I try. At least I try. I'll take my time to make you mine. Well, at least I try. At least I try. Let me make it right. Give me one more night. At least I try. At least I try. She sings and she screams and it rings. I write songs. I try to write wrongs. At least I try. At least I try. I'll pass the test and fix this mess. At least I try. Please let me try. I try to right wrongs. write songs. I try to right wrongs. I write songs. I try to right wrongs.
Man, that was Tom Cheshire's exclusive to the Quarantuned podcast tune called At Least I Try. And holy cow, what a cool song. And it has yet to be released. So you may be hearing it for the first time unless you're in the Tom Cheshire circle. So I deeply appreciate him sharing that with us. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And hope to virtually see you around again real soon. Take care. Thanks for listening.